Proverbs chapter 31. I want you to follow with me as I read verse 10 down through verse 31. Proverbs 31, verse 10 down through verse 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her mates. She considereth the field and buyeth it, with the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by none. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing of silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue with law of kindness. She looketh well the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idols. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou sellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So they can give us prayer.
We were mistaken, and thank you this morning, Brother Woodard. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And, oh Lord, help us to discern the truth that God would have us to know. Lord, individually, the truth. And I know, Lord, that having heard within the sound of our youth here, that word which has been read and impressed, and have helped and attended. Let him now who is the founder of it, because he's got a heaven, and he's called him, and he's given him grace, and he's given him truth. Lead on and guide him, Lord, even in this hour as he puts us in your scripture. Help us as thy people to receive it in their own hearts, and the power of the Holy Spirit so it will be spread in our lives, that we may be true and faithful witness to the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
You now, Lord, to bless us. Give them the word. Give them the strength to
do it. I'd like to preach on the subject this morning of a godly mother. I thought about this, and a lot of thoughts went through my mind and heart when I was thinking about the subject. There's a lot that is said in the Word of God concerning mothers. I believe that one of the scriptures that perhaps we overlook many times, and one that is used quite often, is when the commandment is given, honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days shall be long, you know, if you're upon this earth. Sometimes we and I realize and know that the one that is to have the preeminence in our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Redeemer, and He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I don't believe that the Lord would have put the word honor in the Bible and told us to honor our father and mother if he didn't intend for us to do it. And you have to keep that thing in the right perspective. He did not intend for us to ever put our mother before him. He did not intend for us to ever put our father before him. But he meant for us to honor them in the place where honor is due to them. Now, the ruin of any nation is the lack of godly mothers. A nation without godly mothers soon falls. And I believe, as we've read here, the value of a good mother is priceless. There is no price that can be placed upon the value of a good mother. Just as a forethought here, there are a lot of people today that are brought into this world and this life, and they live and they die, and they have to say that they did not have a good mother. And that's sad. There are mothers that don't care for themselves. They don't care for their husband. They don't care for their children. And they don't care for the Lord. Now that's a sad note. And there are mothers like that today. But thank God there are godly mothers. The reason I thank God, it's God that enables a mother to be a godly mother. She does not have the ability herself to become a godly mother. Neither does anyone else have the ability to give to her for her to be a godly mother. To be a godly mother comes from God. There's so many in the Bible, when you go back and you look and you read. Now everybody here this morning has a mother. If you didn't, you wouldn't be here. I thought about what Solomon said here in the book of Proverbs. This is read many times. I hear it read lots of times at funerals. An elderly person, you know, that has died, and nothing wrong with that. It's good scripture. Scripture to be used for the glory of God and for the glory of God in His service. There are basically three things that I want us to bring to our minds and into our hearts concerning godly mothers. First of all, I'd like for us to think about the walk of a godly mother. The walk. Probably we'd never be able to comprehend all that is said here in this book of Proverbs, from this chapter. There's a lot. When you start in verse 10, and you go down to verse 31, and if you were to expound upon every thought, it'd be hard to draw it all in and to comprehend it all. Now, what I believe that I've already said and needs to be said again is, the walk of a godly mother is designed by God. The world does not design the walk of a godly mother. The world's design for mothers are just the opposite of what God's design for mothers is. And it brings much conflict today. It brings much heartache. And many times you find many that will pattern their walk as a mother after the world rather than after God. And so it always brings a conflict, and it always brings heartache when the walk of a mother is not according to the design that God gave for all mothers. And I believe this is in the Word of God. I believe for a mother to be a godly mother, there has to be a mother-father relationship. The proper relationship between the mother of children and the father of those children. When the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, And he wrote there in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Now, I'm not turning to my thoughts or your design or my design. I'm turning to God's thoughts and to the Lord's design. And if you'll notice with me, there in Ephesians 5 and verse 22 down through verse 23. Now this is God's design for the walk of a godly mother. Now remember that and keep that in mind. And I would and pray that the Holy Spirit would be pleased to take the Word of God and apply it to the hearts of mothers that are here and future mothers that are going to be. Because we need God's design in this day in which we live applied to the hearts and the lives of our mothers. Now here's what Paul said when writing here, the church at Ephesus. Wives, submit yourselves under your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now there's God's design for the walk of a godly mother. And that is, it's a walk of submission. It's the submission that God designed for it to be there. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now there's a clash that many times arises today between mothers and fathers, and it is when that mother will not submit to God's design that he has for her. It causes a lot of problems today. That's why that there are so many problems in our homes. Now, this isn't the only reason. But it is one of the reasons why there are so many problems in our homes. Why it's filtered over even to our schools. It's filtered over even into our government. It is filtered over even into our churches. And the reason many times that we have problem is because the walk of a godly woman that is designed by God is not followed. And there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of heartache today. And there's a lot of misery because of not following God's design. He goes on and says, husbands, love your wives. Fathers ought to love mothers. Not only should mothers yield and submit and love their husbands, but husbands ought to love mothers. And I think especially, and even more so, if our wife or the mother of our children is willing to follow God's design. I believe there is an extra amount of responsibility upon us as fathers to honor and to love the mother of our children. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. That means there should be such a love there that you would be willing even to give yourself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that is the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present himself a glorious church, that is, by the washing of the word, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the body, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife sees that she reverence her husband. Now that's God's design. We're not to improvise. We're not to diminish from God's word. We're not to try to add to it. We're not to try to diminish or take away from it. That's God's design. And I believe that the walk of a godly mother has been designed by God that there will be a proper relationship between the mother and the father. And it's a necessity. It's a must. It's a must for my home and your home to be to the glory of God. It is a must for our church to be to the glory of God and to be a powerhouse and a place where that God works in our midst, in and through us. Now, God designed the husband-wife relationship. Go back with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis, and there in chapter 2. I thought about how that many times young people become attached or have desires toward each other because of physical attraction. But there's a lot more to it than that. If that is all, if you marry someone and that is all that you really ever have, and really what you're calling love is not love but lust, then you're in trouble. Because it won't take long until you get your fill of lust. And then there will be no love there that God has placed or God has given. And the idea of the thought of the world today is, you know, trade them in. Or just get you another. But any of you that have experienced what I have just got through saying knows the heartache. And knows the misery and knows the hurt of such action. And you know assuredly, like nobody else, that that's not really God's design. The way that God designed. In Genesis chapter 2, and there in verse 18. Now notice who said this. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Now what had happened up in this time, God had created Adam. And Adam was there in the Garden of Eden by himself. And according to God's plan and God's design, the Lord himself said, it is not good that Adam be alone. There's been a lot of verses in Proverbs about this. I wish that we didn't take these subjects laughingly. And many times, you know, when we preach about mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and children and parent relationship, many times we jokingly laugh about it. And this is perhaps just as serious as the doctrine of the church. Because there's a comparison. It's just as important as the doctrine of the church. There's a comparison that is made between them. But look what the Lord said. Then the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. And he said, I will make him and help me for him. Now this is God's design. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now look what the Lord did then. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and this is God, took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now. And remember what I read in the book of Ephesians, loveth himself. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now notice the responsibility that is designed at the very beginning. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And I think often about this next verse. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And that is an impossibility today. That's an impossibility. Even though it's your wife or your husband, there is a certain amount of shame because of sin. And I believe our nakedness is only to be revealed to our mind, to our husband, or to our wife. And I don't believe that our nakedness is to be revealed to anybody else. Only. Now this is God's design. So God designed the walk of the mother and the mother and the husband relationship, and he did it right here in the book of Genesis. So therefore I believe as the mother walks according to God's design, she ought to do it according to Ephesians 5:22. Now look at this. And the portion that I want you to see as unto the Lord. The problem today is not a problem with the godly mother. The godly mother's walk is as unto the Lord. The way that God designed it. But the mother that is not the godly mother, that is not interested in fully fulfilling God's design, is as unto myself. Or as unto the world. Now I believe the mother that was mentioned in Proverbs 31 was a mother that was a godly mother, that her walk was as unto the Lord. And there were many repercussions or many things that came from this. The Apostle Peter also talks about the walk of a godly mother. Look with me there in 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice with me in verse 5 through verse 7. You know and I know that if we would return to God's way, every one of us, and especially mothers, because that's who I'm preaching to this morning. For he said here in 1 Peter 3:5, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, now notice, who trusted in God. Their lives was as unto the Lord. Adorn themselves. Now how do they adorn themselves? They adorn themselves being in subjection to their own husbands. One of the most scandalous, appalling things is for a mother not to be in subjection to the father. That is, the wife not to be in subjection to the husband. It's the most appalling thing that you'll ever see or that you'll ever witness. And today it's frequent. Frequently does it happen today. And it shows us in context, even as Sarah obeyed and Abraham calling him Lord, that just means what it says, that whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now notice, giving honor. That does away with all these thoughts that the world would cause you to have when you read verse 5 and verse 6. Not only has the world caused mother, father, wives, and husbands to not do according to God's design, but to even to interpret Scripture wrong when you read it. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Why is it today that even though we pray, and we praise God, that many times our prayers are hindered? It's because there is not the following of God's design in the home. I tell you all because you know this to be a truth. It's hard to get in a squabble and then pray. It's hard for things to be wrong in the relationship between the husband and the wife and not to have straightened it out and then to be able to pray, either one of them, or together. So I believe that we see a godly mother, her walk is designed by God. Her walk should be a walk that is wise, a walk that is upright, and a walk that is God-fearing. But not only do we see in a godly mother her walk, but we see in a godly mother her work. Now God not only designed the walk of the godly mother, but he also designed the work of the godly mother. And he did this even in the very beginning. There in that verses that I read in Genesis 2, and especially there in verse 21 down through verse 25. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. Adam said, now, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I believe that the Apostle Paul, coming down into the New Testament time, explains to us, not only does he in many places explain the walk of a godly mother, but he also explains the work of a godly mother. Listen when he writes to Titus in chapter 2. I thought about, there's a lot of confusion today. There's a lot of turmoil, a lot of heartache that we would not be experiencing if we had just only and was even willing to follow God's design. We are the cause of our problems. We can't blame anybody else. And here's what he said many times, and here's what even we're inclined to think. And the reason we're inclined to think this way is because this is the way our society is geared to this day. We're even inclined to think it won't work today. But we're seeing God's design had fought with. And God's design, when we say that, we're saying that God's design had a flaw in it. But God's design for the mother's walk didn't have no flaw in it. And God's design for the mother's work didn't have no design in it. We have, because of our thinking, have put ourselves in strenuous and adverse circumstances. We have willingly and unwillingly boxed ourselves in to many positions that are contrary to God's design. And therefore, we go along with our thinking and the world's thinking, and we try to pacify our conscience. And we say, yes, we know that's God's design. But what do we do with God's design? Now listen to what he says here. And I said all that because the only way that the Word of God is followed is by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God after we are saved and washing us. Like we read there in Ephesians chapter 5. Now Paul explains the design of God for a godly of work for a godly mother. Titus 2, 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women, and they do this by example. You do this with your lips. I'm always thankful when the Lord saves someone in our church, and maybe it's a young couple, and they are married, and they're interested in serving the Lord, and they do, and then they become a good example for other young ladies of our church that are not yet married, or maybe they visualize one day they're going to be, maybe they're close to it, but becomes a real good example, because we need some good examples today of godly mothers. We need some good examples. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, that's just God's design. And there's scripture after scripture compiled that we could read in the Word of God. And these are things that godly mothers are able to teach that I can't teach. I mean, I teach it and preach it as a pastor of this church, but a godly mother, by example, can have a tremendous impact upon others. To be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Now, I underline this last point. That the Word of God be not blasphemed. Now, the other is as unto the Lord, and then as in this God's design here, is that if we will do these things and follow these things as godly mothers, then the Word of God will not be blasphemed. Now, if we don't, what are we doing? Blaspheming God's Word? It's just that simple. I preach this with a heavy heart. We have really, as a nation, as supposedly a Christian nation, we have, even as New Testament Baptist churches, we have gotten ourselves into some very awesome and awkward situations. And I know, and I believe that you know, that God is not well pleased Have you ever been witness to a mother leaving her child somewhere for somebody else to take care of, and that child screaming and crying after its mother? That's too much for me. I mean, that's a whole lot for me. I tell you. You know why? God didn't design it to be that way. Did he? Now think with me. God didn't design it. Now we've come up with all kinds of designs. And I thought this morning, oh Lord, help us. Help us to see and to know God's design. So her work, God designed her work. And you'll read here as the home. But I believe that God even has a design for the work of a godly mother, even in the church of the Lord Jesus. I believe to teach women and children to be able to pray and to be able to witness. Now, there are some, these are some things that God has given godly mothers to do in the church of the Lord Jesus. There are some restrictions. She's not to preach. This is so simple. Paul told Timothy that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. She's not to usurp the authority over the men or teach men. All you have to do is read and turn back and read in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And there in verse 9 down through verse 15. This seemingly is so hard for some people today. They had rather blaspheme God's word than to go contrary to their own thinking or to the way that the world thinks about them. But when Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said there, 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 15, I read most of this. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold, or pearls of costly array, but which becometh women, notice, professing godliness, in good works. Let the woman learn in silence without subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, or that is, to usurp authority over the man, being silent. Women can teach women and children. For Adam was first formed in Eve, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. It ought to be the prayer of every young girl here today that's saved by the grace of God. This is the way you ought to be praying. Lord, give me a good Christian husband. That's the way you ought to be praying. I'm talking about how to go about being a godly mother. Lord, lead me to and give me a good Christian husband. A young man that will esteem me highly. A young man that will take care of me. A young man that will provide for me. A young man that will love me. A young man that will father our children and have a love for me and for the children that I bear. That's the way you ought to be praying. If you're here this morning and say, by the grace of God, this is the way that you ought to be praying. And then you ought to pray, then, Lord, please help me by the grace of God to be a godly mother. In my walk and in my work. Brethren, we need to... I have thoroughly enjoyed my grandchildren until now. And it's not that I don't enjoy them now. But some of them are getting the age to be thinking about marrying pretty soon. Now, I'm not opposed to marrying. I believe that's what they ought to do. But I pray that God will give them a good Christian man. I pray that they'll be selected by the grace of God to someone that they don't have to yoke up with unequally and have a life of turmoil. But I pray that God would, and especially since things like the two boys are older, that it'll be in the line that they'll get a godly mother. Someone that loves the Lord, and someone that will bear them children, and someone that will love those children, and love the home, and love that husband, and follow God's design. Now how should I think? How should you think? Because it's God's way. But then, the design of God for a godly mother is her willingness. I want you to notice that first verse in Proverbs 31. Now notice this. The prophecy that his mother taught him. These words. The prophecy that his mother taught him. The prophecy that his mother taught him. I thought about it. Don't wait till your child is a teenager and think then you're going to teach him something. People say, oh, they'll grow out of it. No, they never will. I believe that it begins very early. Listen to what Paul said concerning Timothy in 2 Timothy. And I use this because I think this is the design of a godly mother. And this is the willingness of a godly mother. Look here in 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance, and he said, I remember some things about these ladies. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first, where did it dwell first? In thy grandmother Lois. Now, what was that grandmother interested in doing? She was interested in being a godly mother and teaching by example according to God's design. And then notice, and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. And I believe here was the willingness of a grandmother and the willingness of a mother to be a godly mother. They were mothers of unfeigned faith. And it influenced the grandchildren also. You say, well, my job's done. I've got my children raised. No. No. If you've got children and they've got children, you've still got a big responsibility. To be an example before those grandchildren. A godly design for the glory of God. Now, this lady here in Proverbs 31, she was anxious to serve God with fear. If you'll read about her, she professes and projects godliness. And the way to see it, notice her husband. Look in verse 11. I'm going to close here. Verse 11. She projects godliness. Look. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Here is the result of being a godly mother is that her husband trusts her. But look at another result. Look in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gate. When he sitteth among the elders of the land,
Now, in the context of this, why, how is he made known? He is made known by this godly mother.
Yeah.
This godly wife. And the other will be known too. And notice in verse 28, the last part, and he praises her. Or praises her. Now, what about her children? Now, notice her children. In verse 28, her children arrived up and called her blessed. Look at her praise. Her praise, her husband praises her, her children praises her, and greatest of all, the Lord praises her. We'll look at verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her. Yes. So to have a strong church, we must have godly mother. A godly mother is to love the Lord, love their husband, love their families, and to love the church. God's problem, Lord, let me see my mother yesterday. That's unusual. Don't use the word. And she said, I'm thinking a lot about you. And through the years, one thing that my dad has never said to me, and I love it. My mother found it hard to do also. Several years ago, I said, I'm through with this kind of mess. Every time I call my mom, I close saying, I love you. And my mom saw him the day, and she said, you know, I even told her I love you. I think that's real good. But may the Lord, by His grace, enable you and help you to be godly mother.